I've titled the message, the sermon, Count It All Joy. It's based on Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3. I'm going to be reading out of the study Bible. But now, O Israel, the Lord who created you says. When I first started studying, reading the Bible, especially the Old Testament, whenever I heard Israel, I was assuming it was just talking directly to the Jewish people. But there are several meanings for Israel. Israel is God's chosen. Israel is the name Jacob was given as he wrestled with the heavenly being all night long. And it also has a spiritual implication. Israel's spiritual meaning is whoever trusts, it's a special blessing to spiritual believers who trust in all of God's promises. And as Christians, we are definitely included in that chosen. So the scripture's talking directly to us also. But now, O Israel, the Lord who created you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So going through rivers of difficulty will either cause you to drown or force you to grow stronger. And if you go of your own strength, you're more likely to drown in the circumstances. If you invite the Lord to go with you, he will protect you. And when you go through these difficulties, they build our faith and our character. Building our faith, we can look at it in a way like going to the gym to build muscle. When you go to the gym, you put stress, you put strain on those muscles by weights, by machines, by exercises. And what happens? Naturally, the muscles get stronger. The muscles get bigger. So we go through our difficulties with the Lord. He's hoping that our character and our faith grows. As life unfolds, all of us encounter occasional setbacks. Those occasional visits from old man trouble are simply facts of life. And none of us are exempt. When tough times arrive, we may be forced to rearrange our plans and our priorities. But even on our darkest days, we must remember that God's love remains constant. The fact that we encounter adversity is not nearly so important as the way we choose to deal with it. Do we react or do we respond? When tough times arrive, we have a clear choice. We can begin the difficult work of tackling our troubles when we summon the courage to look old man trouble squarely in the eye. An amazing thing usually happens. He blinks. As I look out onto the congregation, there's some of you that I know quite well, some just getting to know, and some others not so much. But looking out there, I know a lot of us went through problems. Divorce, death of a loved one, even some of us, death of a spouse. A lot of us went through sicknesses. A lot of us go through operations to replace used body parts. And if you know me, I personally went through all of these just recently. Years ago, I had the privilege of reading, listening to, and actually meeting in person a Christian motivator named Zig Ziglar. And Zig taught me a little bit about this reacting and responding. He said, when you're not feeling well, you go to the doctor. And the doctor usually gives you advice, and he usually gives you a prescription. He says, come back in a couple of days. So when we come back, we might have a little fever, maybe our blood pressure is a little high, maybe it broke out in a rash. Doctor says, ooh, you had a reaction to the prescription. If you came back, you had a bounce in your step, blood pressure is normal, smile on your face, you responded to the prescription. So reactions usually come with consequences. Responding usually comes with results. And going through all of those problems, I must admit, I reacted a little, but mostly I responded. And all of those difficulties, they brought me closer to God, gave me a bigger trust in our Lord, built my faith, and built my character. I learned, not why me, but what do you want me to learn, Lord? And even if we make mistakes, if we learn from those mistakes, they're not really mistakes anymore, are they? They become lessons. So, Father, you are my refuge. And as I journey through this day, I know that I may encounter disappointments and losses. Keep me steady, Lord. And renew in me a right spirit this day and forever. Amen. Doubt is a great enemy of God's dream for your life. Doubts limit your potential, cause procrastination, and make you miss God's best. The Bible says in James 1, 6 to 8, anyone who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown up and down by the wind. They should not think they will receive anything from the Lord. Before God can use you, me, in any significant way, we have to deal with our doubts. Joshua was a great leader that led the Israelites into the promised land. But he had a problem with doubt. Even though God chose him to play an important part and role in Israel's story, he struggled with self-confidence. Joshua had a couple of really good reasons. Well, first of all, he was Moses' successor. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy, Moses was one of the greatest men who ever lived. I'd have some doubts too following him. God also gave Joshua some big assignments, like leading the Israelites into a land inhabited by seven larger, stronger enemy nations. To let God use him, Joshua had to let go of his doubts. So the night before the Israelites began their campaign to take over the promised land, God gave Joshua a pep talk. He said, be bold and be strong. Banish your fear and banish your doubt. Remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. God told Joshua to dump his doubts, and he wants you and me to do the same thing too. Doubt is a choice. When you're doubting God, when you're doubting your abilities, when you're doubting other people God put in your path, you're choosing to believe your doubts and doubting your beliefs. Instead, you need to doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. Believe that God is with you. Believe that God will help you. Believe that God wants to work in your life. He put Jesus there for us. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life, now and forevermore. Joshua believed God's promises to be with the Israelites and help them. He believed God when he said that Joshua would become a great leader. Joshua wanted to fulfill God's mission for him. So whenever doubts he had, Joshua chose to believe in God's promises and believe in God's faithfulness. Don't trust your doubts. Believe your beliefs. There we go. Hebrews 10:23. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises to keep us going. God always keeps his word. The Christian faith is founded upon promises that are contained in a unique book. That book, the Holy Bible. The Bible is a roadmap for life here on earth and for life eternal. As Christians, we're called upon to study its meaning, to trust its promises, to follow its commandments, and to share its good news, God's holy word. Some 48, 49 years ago, I came into Penarjo, a broken down man, atheist, so I thought. I was on the highway to hell and couldn't pay the toll. Had to change my life around. Came into Penarjo, fell in love with my wife, Susan. Lived in a little building right on 3-bedroom apartment, Shank Avenue and 512. God has a particular way of doing things. God introduced me to a man, some of us know him, Bernie. For you who don't know him, I can describe Bernie as a bipolar evangelist. Now, Bernie had a one-track mind with me. He was going to change my atheism. He said, you got to come to this church. You got to come to this church, and wouldn't let go. It was probably a year or so. And one Christmas Eve, Sue and I and the kids decided to come to this Grace Church. And we walked through those doors, and this place was mobbed. The only seats were in the second row right here. And it was the first time in my life that I not only heard, but I was believing Pastor Hallam's sermon, how much God loved me. It had a profound effect, a life-changing effect. This holy word, this book, is indeed a transforming, life-changing, one-of-a-kind treasure. After hearing about God's love, I attended every Bible study I could in the church, outside the church, and really, really got into my Bible. And look where I am now. A passing acquaintance with the Bible is not sufficient for a Christian life who seek to obey God's word and to understand his will for your life. God has made promises to you, and if you don't read them, you don't even know about them. And he intends to keep them all. So take God at his word, trust his promises, share them with your family and your friends and with the world. Franklin Graham says this: we can have full confidence in God's promises because we can have full faith in God's character. So, Lord, your holy word contains promises, and I will trust them. I will use the Bible as my guide, and I will trust you, Lord, to speak to me through your Holy Spirit and through your holy word this day and forever. If we're in agreement with that, can I get an amen? All right. Are you at peace with the direction of your life? If you're a Christian, you should be. Perhaps you seek a new direction, a sense of renewed purpose, but those feelings should never rob you of the genuine peace that you can and should have through a personal relationship with Jesus. And every relationship relies on communication. And our communication is reading that love letter he has given to us, the Bible. Have you found the lasting peace that can be yours through Jesus? Or are you still rushing after the illusion of peace and happiness that our world promises but cannot deliver? Today is a gift to yourself, a gift to your family, a gift to your friends. Claim that inner peace that is your spiritual birthright, the peace of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, let me accept the peace and abundance that you offer through your Son, Jesus. You are the giver of all good things, Father, and you give me peace when I draw close to you. Help me trust your will, to follow your word, and to accept the peace today and forever. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are completely different from yours, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He has given us Jesus, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So are you going to listen to Frank Sinatra, I did it my way? Or are you going to listen to Jesus and say, I did it thy way? Doing it Jesus' way, you will have great days. Doing it Jesus' way, you will have a greater eternity. Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? Can I get a thank you, Jesus?